Thank you for listening to On the Lift Podcast, a Runaway Dunston production. Live from Greenwater Studios, this is On the Lift Podcast, your weekly show that is ultimately about skiing. This is the show that ducks the rope, earns some turns, dances in ski boots, poaches hot tubs, closes the bar, and still makes it on the first chair. Here's your hosts, two dudes who rip the pow, shred the gnar, and tell the tales, Lance Hester and Michael Gore.
So if you're new to On the Lift Podcast, thanks for joining us. We try to cover everything about skiing, where to ski, how to pay for it, what kind of gear you should use. And also, we like to share some stories from our many years of skiing. So thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Visit us at ontheliftpodcast.com, where you can listen to back episodes of the podcast. You'll also find show notes, a feedback box, and our call-in number.
And we are on the lift.
Well, yes, we are, Mike. What mountain are we heading to the top of this week?
We are on the lift heading up Mount How to Get Good Deals on Ski Gear.
Wow, that's a long name for a mountain.
It's a traditional name, yes.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to this episode because hopefully we'll get this thing rolled out in the summer still. And there's some really good preseason deals available.
Yeah, so I've noticed you've done a lot of research on some online deals that we're going to talk about today. And like you said, it's still early season. We're out here on your patio recording this. So if you hear some birds or you know, some kind of outdoor sounds, that's where we are because it's a gorgeous day here in the Pacific Northwest. And with the timing for us to record these things, sometimes we have to do it early in the morning. So that's kind of where we are right now.
That's
but we're
right.
Still thinking about skiing, even though it is a pretty warm July day.
It's going to be another 80-degree day here in the great Pacific Northwest. Yeah, so what I think, Mike, is that this is a great subject to break into maybe two different episodes. This one's particularly timely. We'll call this more the online bargains as opposed to those good deals that come at those regional ski sales,
right.
You know, ski swaps, ski sales, big things in Seattle or Denver or wherever. Because, you know, it's a good time to stock up on basics and also, you know, maybe based on last season's skiing, you know what you want.
Yeah, you can never have too many pairs of gloves or too many base layers or, you know, maybe there's a helmet that, you know, was last year's model that's on sale in the summer.
That's right. So or maybe you, like, broke your favorite boot and you know exactly what you need and you don't care to whether you get next year's model.
Sure. And things like cat tracks, you know, important accessories.
That's right. Now would be a great time to buy some cat tracks. I bet you can get a screaming deal on those. Last year's colors, you know. So there's a few ways to go about your online bargain shopping, as I'm sure many of our listeners realize. And you know, I've developed a list of kind of the go-to online ski supply places, and I'll put those on our website, and we'll probably make some references to those during this conversation as well.
So what kind of deals are we expecting to find on these? Is this like Black Friday where it's just like there's a you know, fire sale on one or two particular items, or are you finding just things kind of pop up?
That's a good question because, you know, like Amazon does have this Black Friday in July, and this episode might be coming out actually a little bit after that by the time it rolls. But it's more like, you know, okay, so there's a couple different ways to break down your online ski equipment shopping experience. One is to go for the eBay and Craigslist approach. And then the other would be to shop at particular online retailers. And so on the first one, like I said, eBay or Craigslist, if you know what you're after, that's the place to start. And hopefully you could have started real early in the summer. And you're just going to have to be persistent with daily searches. So if you know that you want a certain Lang boot and you know what size, you're a 27.5 and that what is that, a European number or whatever that is.
Mondo point.
Or something. Then you can start doing the searches on that on Craigslist if you want to try and buy it local, or eBay if you want to try and buy it more, you know, globally.
Sure. So, Lance, you're one of the few people that will buy used ski boots. And this is... And I'm not quite sure that that's the worst idea in the world, because you've managed to score some pretty good deals on used boots. It seems to be that boots are usually like the most important item in your ski equipment, right?
You got
it. That can make or break your season. But it seems to be that with boots these days, as long as you find a model that you like, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is for our listeners. And for myself personally, I've kind of been scared to buy used boots, but you know, sometimes you can find them in a variety of places online, Craigslist, you know, all the places you just mentioned. Even sometimes like a Goodwill or some of these ski town thrift shops that maybe have people use them one or two seasons and moved on to the next deal. So, have you ever gotten burned on that though? Have you ever bought a pair of used boots and they're completely packed out and they're just a disaster? Or
not yet,
okay.
But I've been careful. I guess that potential is factored into my shopping decision. Like last summer, almost exactly this time, I was able. Long story short, I have a pair of boots that I had a pair of boots that I was perfectly content with. They were 10 years old, and the soles burned out from walking through the, you know, driveways and parking lots too much. And so, you know, those boots new were like $800. And so I did some searching online, found the same pair of boots, and they were in like Nebraska or something, you know, and there's probably not a lot of skiing for someone who lives in Nebraska, even if they're on the plane regularly. And so anyhow, the guy had lots of pictures. It looked like a safe bet. Same exact model, same exact size, and $54. And so actually it came out to about 90 with postage and stuff. So it wasn't like, I mean, it's not the kind of money a person wants to throw away, but I kind of figured that I'd be able to get that back if I was unhappy with the fit, or if they were all packed out, or if it wasn't what I thought I was getting, by reselling it again on eBay later, which I wasn't real thrilled about going through that whole process, but if I had to, I could have. So, look at the model, do your searches and you know, your foot size and all that. And you might be able to find a good pair of boots, and they're not too crazy as far as shipping prices and stuff compared to skis. So
no, and you brought up a good point, and that's the wear and tear factor on boots, because it seems like the technology around ski boots. I mean, I know you and I are both particular to Technica, and I bought a pair of those about a decade ago that they've lasted. I've got hundreds and hundreds of days on them, but the issue is those plates are starting to wear out. And remember, early season, we went into the ski shop before one of our ski trips just to pick up some stuff, and happened to ask if the boot tech there had some parts, and the first thing out of his mouth was, well, first of all, you need some new boots, son.
That's true.
He's like, those things are 10 years old. And I didn't realize it. It's kind of like, you know, my ties are too wide right now too, so
that's right.
So
I
guess
pants.
Are there parts on some of these, and I don't want to get us off topic too much on boots, but you know, I'm sure there's some listeners out there that are in the same situation. They have a boot they like. You kind of get emotionally attached, or not emotionally attached, but you get comfortable with a boot, because it can make or break your season.
Right. Well, safety first. I mean, you know, if your sole's ragged and too thin and you're not going to release safely from your binding, get some new boots.
Okay,
you know?
But here, why do they have the screws on them to replace them?
Well, that guy in the shop told me
that sell the pieces.
The guy in the shop told me you can get the parts for a couple years usually.
Okay.
And then after that, you know, strategically, they want you to buy some new boots. So
it's like my 2002 Silverado. The way they get me to buy a new one is that if you need any part for that thing,
obsolete.
You got to pull it off.
So
if
you buy
lot.
New boots in the first 2 years, go buy a bunch of those screw-on sole plate things, and you should be good for, you know, just don't lose them because you'll forget where you put them or whatever. But yeah, so then that's one way to really, you know, like if you're committed to getting up every morning and taking your first 15 minutes, you know, sniffing through eBay and Craigslist, you're probably going to find what you need, especially in the world of boots.
So just to recap, though, if you're buying something that you already know
exactly
what you're looking for,
right,
this is not the time. Although for $50, you know, maybe the Reichley Flexon comps are the right boot for you
they
all
could
along
be.
If you can find some vintage
they
ones.
They could be.
So
you might find some fun vintage stuff while you're sniffing through that too. Yep. Anyhow, so the next category would be like just more traditional retailers online. And there's some great places to go, especially this time of year. You know, just that sell stuff that you don't want, you know, like the night before a ski trip, you don't want to go into, or let's say you've arrived at your ski trip, you know, you've like spent all this money on airfare and stuff. You get there, you're unpacking, and you realize, oh no, I don't have long underwear, or I forgot my gloves, which I've done twice in the last 2 years. You don't want to find yourself in the same position I was in, where you're going down to the local ski shop and paying full retail in the middle of a resort. That's a bummer, because it ain't cheap.
No.
So now's the time of year to stock up on that sort of stuff. You know, mental note, thanks to the On the Lift podcast, this thing's over today. Get online and buy yourself some long johns, buy yourself some gloves, buy yourself some socks. Socks are getting expensive. So some of those places would be like probably obvious to many of our listeners, REI, and they have their garage section on their website. You've probably heard of some of these, BasinSki.com, of course, Evo.com, and they have a sale section. TheHouse.com, meaning the hyphen house. Alpine Shop Vermont, that's ALPINESHOPVT.com. They have an outlet. There's a number of these. We'll put these on the web. On the website.
So in addition to, you know, like the REI garage sale is kind of a classic event up here that I've scored some really great deals at.
Oh,
especially like the best thing there is kids ski boots, because a lot times they'll sell their whole entire fleet of kids rental stuff, and you can pick up, you know, it was like $8 to $13 for a pair of kids boots. So I just bought every size, and with our kids, I know we've traded you know, ski gear back and forth all in the way. But the nice thing with this is you don't necessarily have to get up at 5:30 in the morning and literally camp outside of an REI, which I have done before to get those deals, because it's amazing.
Yeah.
But you can access you know, some of those same deals online, which is great. And you can hit stores around the country, because there may be an REI or this Alpine Vermont.
Alpine Shop Vermont.
Everyone in Vermont is jumping up and down and screaming in their iPhone right now, but. And then you've got the whole country to really pick through.
Snowandski.com. So those are some great places right now to be looking for stuff that they're clearing out from last year. And, you know, if you like sit down and think, oh yeah, I need a new helmet, my head grew, or darn it, you know, I didn't like wearing the one pair of $25 socks over and over during that week in, you know, wherever you went in, Mammoth or whatever, maybe you'd have a less stinky experience if you bought an extra couple pair of socks right now. So
that's right.
So
and gloves too.
Socks.
You can get there. You can discover they have a hole in them. I mean,
right. Or cat tracks. You gotta get your cat tracks.
Cat tracks, or your a Boda bag, or a rear gear, or a.
I had a Boda bag.
Any number of, and we'll definitely have a feature on cheesy ski items.
We'll be revisiting those items in the future.
But well, I mean, I know now. I mean. I remember one of our last days, I broke my goggles, you know, putting them on in the gondola.
I was there. I forgot about that.
And it broke in a way that was impossible to fix them. So I had to buy a pair of, you know, just goggles.
On the mountain.
On the mountain.
So painful.
The cheapest pair was like $50. And, you know, so now I have a backup pair. But I could have spent that same $50, gotten a sweet pair of, you know, something that's going to.
And your retinas wouldn't have got burned.
That's right. You know, something that
would. If you bought them online in the summer, you'd have got a pair that.
Exactly.
Actually.
A pair that actually
worked.
A pair that actually had lenses
eye
in them.
Eye protection. I know. I knew you should have bought a pair with lenses in it.
Well, I thought they'd just be fine with the frame.
Yeah. Okay. Then there's a final kind of category here of online shopping, and it's not. This is probably relevant season wide or year round, but now's a good time to maybe check to see if there's any deals, and that's for the more specific stuff. You know, we're not talking about just base layers and jackets and the usual thing. I'm talking about like tuning equipment or race equipment. You know, like. If you have a kid who's going to be racing this year, and you know you need to get the, you know, what are those shin guard things and elbow pad dealies and helmet mask, that bar that goes in front of the helmet. I don't know much about racing, obviously. There's a place called The Race Place, the-raceplace.com. And they, like, you know, if your kid's a racer, you already know that website. It's an important one in that world. And then there's another place that I've frequented called Tognar, TOGNAR.com. And they've got everything you can imagine for tuning equipment. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these other places sell tuning equipment as well, but Tognar has like information on how to go about certain aspects of tuning. But if you're just looking for like, you know, a big bulk of wax to start your season off or a nice iron, now's a good time to get equipped in that way. So the Race Place and Tognar would be good places for that more particular stuff.
And that's a great point. You know, it's good to have all of that stuff on hand to wax your ski. So important to keep them waxed, keep the edges sharp, keep the bases flat. But don't be like my friend who his kids race. He was telling me this story about spending all this money to get kids to a race. You know, weather's not that great. Everything's, you know, getting them up in the hill. And I'm like, well, how do they do at least? He's like, well, not good. He's like, I waxed my son's skis the night before thinking I was being helpful. And instead of the cold temperature wax, because this was like a, you know, December race.
Oh, gosh.
You know, somewhere.
Yeah.
I think it was Bogus Basin or somewhere. Instead of putting the blue wax on, he put cross country like, kick wax on there.
Sticky
so
stuff.
So the poor
huh?
kid basically had, you know, the fuzzy Velcro on the bottom of his skis.
I bet he did good going uphill.
So not only do these places offer, you know, deals on equipment and you can kind of stock up on stuff, but they'll also sometimes have how-to videos, meaning downhill wax for downhill skis.
Yeah. Well, I guess my final thought on buying stuff preseason online would be only get it if you're, you know, the base layers and all that sort of stuff, that's easy, right? But, like, if you're talking about a major piece of equipment like new skis, let's say that you know you want a certain model of ski. If you've previously demoed that ski, you know the right length, you're comfortable with your binding options and so forth, that might be a great opportunity to get it, especially if they're clearing them out from last year. And here's what you shouldn't worry about. If you know that ski you demoed last year and it's last year's model or the year before's or whatever, if you know that you're comfortable with it, there's other places where you can go online to find reviews to see what other people thought of it as well. All the major magazines keep their previous year's product reviews online. Powder.com, Ski, I don't know if it's called Ski.com or SkiMagazine.com, but the Ski Magazine does that, as well as Backcountry Magazine. So you go in there and you search by year and see if they have that ski reviewed, and you can decide if maybe this is a good time to buy last year's model at a screaming good deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only thing I would add to that is, you know, don't be tempted though to buy a ski that's 10 to 20 centimeters off size for you. You know, that can go really wrong, going way too short or way too long just because it's such a good deal. I've certainly done that, especially with some of these bigger backcountry skis. Once you get too big in those, they can really be hard to handle in the trees. But you know, if you skied that ski, if you skied something in that particular family, a lot of times from year to year, all that really changes is the cosmetics, the graphics.
That's true.
And that's a great point.
That is true, especially the last decade or so.
And read the reviews, because, you know, I'm not that great at skiing on a ski and pinpointing exactly or verbalizing what I think about it. But I can
feel it, man. You know it when you feel it.
Yeah. You know it when you see it.
That's right. So. Well, and we're probably not the best authority for those of you who have kids racing. I mean, you might go to one of these sites and find some screaming good deals on some race skis. But my impression, having observed people in that world, is that the coach tells them what to get and what length to get. And you're probably just stuck paying full retail at whatever point that is. Or getting the team discount at the local shop or at whatever online, you know, arrangement they have for a team discount. But those are things that don't just get what the kids had last year. Talk to the coach and do it right. Well, Mike, I am about out of information here. I've spilled all of my online preseason ski shopping information that I have for you.
Well, thank you for doing all this research, Lance, and this is a great overview of, you know, kind of what we can be doing in the summer to get ready for the ski season.
Yeah,
so
you bet. And we're not going to have exhaustive show notes, but I'll certainly put these online retailers links on our website. We're going to round out our episode today with a great ski story, but first a word from our sponsor.
The On the Lift podcast is brought to you in part by Radio Parties. Nobody knows how to party any harder than Shushin boomers like you, right? So if you're planning a preseason party, a mid-season party, a post-season party, a birthday party, holiday party, company party, a just-because party, well, you get the idea. We have the perfect party music choice. It's our traveling, high-energy, fun-loving DJs. They have a great way of making any party huge. Call Radio Parties, 800-954-3535. 800-954-DJ-DJ, or email me directly at ric@radioparties.com.
Mike, we're gonna introduce my beloved father-in-law, Kirk, to the podcast today. He has been the source of many war stories in all of our skiing, probably, of course, mine more than any of the rest of the guys, but there's one that apparently I missed.
So again, I'm really happy that we're taking this time to kind of introduce Kirk to our listeners, and like you said, we'll have more stories about all the times we've had skiing with him. But this was a great story because
let's just make this clear. He's my favorite 80 plus year old skier.
Yes.
Amazing.
He's my hero. He's my idol. I want to be skiing as well as he is at that age. And mostly because you ski for free.
A lot of places you do.
But the thing about Kirk is, you know, like we mentioned a little bit earlier about ski town jobs. And if you want to be a ski instructor, it's a great job, but you have to love it. Kirk is one of these guys that loves teaching people. He will take the,
he's an amazing teacher.
He will forfeit fresh snow to help out, you know, maybe some of our friends that we brought on one of our guys' trips and teach him how to, you know, get it with the most whatever's current state of the art with PSI instruction. Anyway, this was a great day in Sun Valley a few years ago. I think you weren't here. You were skiing on the other side. We were like coming down to Warm Springs. I think you were.
Yeah, I missed the event. I love the story though.
We're not racers. We don't judge racers. There's good eggs and bad eggs in every discipline of every sport.
Attitude.
Attitude.
It's all about the attitude.
So, and generally, the tighter your pants are, the tighter your clothing is, the higher risk you have of maybe having a little bit of attitude.
Or you gain some weight over the winter.
That's a good point. So we were skiing Sun Valley, just ripping some groomers, which is just so great up there. Consistent snow, consistent fall lines. You could just let your skis run and go fast. And you know, we're not racers, but we love to get out there and
feel those G forces,
carve it up, feel the G forces. That particular day, there was several racers on the slopes as well, with the full spider tight suits and the, you know, the
mask,
the bank poles, the mask thing. And for some reason, you know, you come into the lift line, you know, there's a tendency to spray your buddies, and make a snide comment,
yeah,
just kind of goofing off.
We were raised to do that since junior high.
But, you know, this guy just comes in hot. He's coming in hot into the lift line. I'm standing there with Kirk and a couple other friends, and we're just kind of skating our way into the lift line. Well, this guy just decides.
So it's like a four-person lift, right? Like you,
yeah,
and Kirk and Jeff or someone were heading up to it.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like a four-person lift. So we're in the little, you know, entry, the staging area, the orange fences, snow
right.
fences to get in. And you know the snow fences that kind of have like the inch holes in them? That
The kind you might see like on a job site too sometimes.
Yeah.
Those really thick plastic, but they got a holes. They're like webbing.
Right,
okay.
Right, exactly. So what happened is Kirk and I and a couple other guys are kind of poling, skating in the line. This racer comes in out of nowhere. Didn't scrub much speed at all off of that last descent there on Warm Springs coming in. So he's coming in hot, starts skating past us. And Kirk's talking to me and kind of sees this happen, looks over at the guy. And he just sort of does this move where he just puts out his left arm just a little bit.
Kind of like my mom when she's trying to restrain me in the car.
Exactly. The fastest thing in nature, that arm extending. And he put his left arm out like this. And I'm doing this visually, but he put his left arm out and he kind of looked to his right as if he were talking to me. And that change the trajectory of this Alberto Tomba,
who's coming in a little hot.
Coming in a little hot guy, and just pushed him nicely, just a little bit over into the snow fence.
What subsequently happened then was,
visualize this guy's poles, right? They're those bent downhill racing poles.
Oh, yeah, and they're
with
usually
the orange
bright.
Conical baskets on the end of them. But the poles, he had his straps on his wrist, so he was locked in.
He was committed to his poles and everything.
As Kirk did this pit maneuver, the pit maneuver that the State Patrol uses to derail a car. It was very similar to that. This guy just, his pole just catches right in one of those little openings of the snow fence.
Oh.
So what that does is it completely arrests his forward momentum. The pole, the strap, everything pulls him back. Skis up in the air. He's on his butt.
Yeah, probably dislocated his shoulder, too.
And so I saw this happen. I think Jordan and Jeff saw this happen. Kirk was kind of playing it like he
was talking, man. He was giving you some tips.
So we skate past this guy who's, picking himself up off the ground, and we get on the lift, and I'm like, oh, Kirk, that was amazing. And he said something to the effect of, you don't mess with me. not on this mountain.
That's not a direct quote, but no. That was the message.
No, that was the message. So that was just so satisfying, because we've all seen those guys that are, just thinking they're awesome.
Exactly.
It's full of ego, skating into the line.
It's kind
of
like taking cuts, too.
Exactly. It's just the way that Kirk was able to sort of just nudge him. And it was almost like judo or jiu-jitsu, where he was using his own momentum against the guy.
His core.
Right.
His skiing core. So then what you guys did is you got on the lift.
We got back on the lift and did it again. So thanks for listening. I thought that was a
awesome.
Great way to introduce Kirk. And
that's,
we've got
that's
a lot
our
more
first
stories.
Of Kirk stories. Guy's been skiing since 1941. See you next time. Introduce yourself, share your show ideas, and give us a call at 253-260-4577. Again, 253-260-4577.
Offload the final chair and end this episode of On the Lift Podcast. Bar up, tips up, sweep that hill, and see you next week.